Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu chapter 10. In the last parak, we heard about the root causes that led to the Churban, including Yehuda's dishonesty and that they didn't value Torah learning properly. We also heard Yirmiyahu encouraging women who are professional mourners to cry for the Churban to arouse the nation to do tshuva. The parak ended with a nevuah that Nebuchadnezzar will destroy many nations, including Yehuda. The Me'am Loi says this parak picks up where the last parak left off. Yehuda is shocked. Why would they be included with all those uncircumcised nations? Hashem tells them in this parak that they are different than the other nations and must act differently in Yerushalayim and in Galus as well. The parak begins, verse 1, Shimu es hadavar asher diber Hashem aleichem beis Yisrael. Hear the words that Hashem has spoken about you, house of Israel. Rav Breuer comments that Hashem calls them Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel, which is a new name. Although they will be living among the nations and were lumped together with the other nations in the last parak, they are different and must maintain their identity as Beis Yisrael, the embodiment of the values of Yisrael, their father in Galus. Hashem is speaking aleichem, about them, not to them, says the Das Sofrim. This parak is defining the difference between Yisrael la'amim, between the Jews and the other nations. Perhaps one can say that Yehuda did not say Birchas HaTorah, they did not say the blessings over the Torah, where we thank Hashem for choosing us. This parak defines how fortunate we are because Hashem chose us. At this time, there is a cultural shift taking place. Yehuda will go into Galus where they will be exposed to new challenges. This parak discusses the challenge of living in a society that has different values. Bavel serves idols and also believes in astrology to predict the future of individuals and nations. The nation requests from Yirmiyahu that he teach them astrology so that they can survive in this new reality in Galus. Yirmiyahu's response is verse 2. El derech hagoyim al tilmadu. Do not learn to go in the way of the nations. Which means, according to Radak, do not serve Avodah Zarah, or according to the Das Sofrim, do not even get close enough to their path to learn anything to satisfy your intellectual curiosity about them. Ume osos hashmayim al techatu ki yechatu hagayim mehema. And don't be afraid of the signs in the sky just because the other nations are scared of them. Don't learn astrology, which the nations believe controls their fate. The other nations live under the control of Mazalos, the astrological signs, and are subject to fate. Hashem promised Avraham Avinu that his children would be beyond the control of the stars, or beyond the control of the Mazalos. The Jewish people live under Hashem's direct guidance with Hashkacha Pratis. Yirmiyahu continues and points out how nonsensical it is to believe in astrology or idolatry. Idolaters' practices are hevel, they're nonsense. The following psukim contrast the power of the idols with the power of Hashem. First, every wooden idol, which supposedly has the power to control a person's life, started off as a piece of wood in the forest. Ma'asei yedei charash b'ma'atzad, the work of the hands of a workman with the axe. If man can create an idol, how can an idol control man? These idols were made to look impressive and sophisticated. Verse 4, b'kesev uv'zahav yiyafehu, they deck it with silver and with gold. Artists add silver or gold design elements, which look nice, but don't change the essential nature of these idols. They are still powerless. The idols can't move, can't speak, and need to be carried from place to place like a scarecrow. Bnei Yisrael need to realize, verse 5, Al tiru mehem ki lo yareu, v'gam heitiv enosam. Don't be afraid of them, they can't do anything bad to you, but they also can't do anything good for you. They are useless for any purpose. Verses 6 through 8 begin to contrast this description of the idols to the description of Hashem. Me'ein kamocha Hashem, there is none like you Hashem. We say in the tefillah, Mi kamocha be'elim Hashem, who is like you amongst the strong ones Hashem? There is nothing that can ever be compared to Hashem. Hashem is solitary in his capabilities and strength. While no one should be afraid of idols, everyone, even the other nations, should fear Hashem. Verse 7, Mi lo yira'acha melech hagoyim, who would not fear you, king of the nations? While other people may claim to have power over another person, only Hashem, who is the king of everyone, actually does. In contrast, Musar havalim etzu, their religious doctrine is predicated on wood. It is delusional and the plan of fools. While Hashem is all-powerful, they have man serving man-made items which have no power. The second difference is discussed in verses 9 and 10. These idols are imported from distant lands and fashioned to elicit awe and fear. The fear is a design feature crafted by creative minds to manipulate emotions with imported silver and gold, tzicheles v'algamon, blue and purple fabrics. In contrast, Hashem is not only singular, as we have already said, Hashem Elohim Emes, Hashem is the God of truth. No one needs to make Hashem more impressive, as Hashem is truth. Hu Elohim Chayim, He is the source of life in the world. Umelech Olam, He is the ultimate king of the world. He controls everything that happens in the world and sets the rules of nature and nations. Yirmiyahu writes a letter to those exiled in Bavel regarding the third distinction, which is the limits of the idols and the power of Hashem. He writes in Aramaic, as that was the common language of the people. He writes with pride to strengthen the nation, as Nebuchadnezzar and the noble class are pressuring them to worship Avodah Zarah. Yirmiyahu needs to give them chizah, strength, so they can withstand the temptation of Nebuchadnezzar, pressuring them to bow. Bnei Yisrael experience this pressure again before the Purim story when they are told to bow to Haman. We also experience the pressure to bow to whatever is the sacred ideals of the nation we live throughout our Galus experience. Verse 11, Kidna Temrun Lahom. Thus shall you say to them. According to most Mefarshim, Yirmiyahu is addressing those exiled. Rav Breuer says that Yirmiyahu is telling the Jews to share this message with the nations where they are living. Elahaya Bishmaya V'arka La Avadu. The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth. Yivadu Me'ara Umin Tachos Shemaya Ela. These shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. In contrast, Hashem has the ultimate power. Verses 12 through 16 is a tefillah of praise that describes the power of Hashem. This tefillah is repeated in Perek 52. Many of the phrases are similar to the phrases in our Siddur. Verse 12, Osei Eretz Bekocho, He makes the land with His power. This phrase is written in the present tense, as Hashem didn't just create the world. He makes sure it continues by maintaining the world every day. As it says in the Birchas Kriyat Shema, Hashem is Mechadesh Bechol Yom Ma'ase Breishis. Hashem continuously renews the act of creation. Hashem uses His wisdom to establish the earth and the sky so that we can live. In addition to creating a broad world for us to inhabit, Hashem provides us with food and drink. Verse 13, L'kol tito hamon mayim bashamayim, at the sound of His giving a multitude of waters in the heaven. Only Hashem has the keys to the rain. V'yale nesia mikzei aretz, He makes clouds rise up from the ends of the earth. Brakim lamatar asa, He makes lightning for the rain. V'yotze ruach me'otzer sav, and He releases the winds from His vaults. This is almost the exact pasuk from Tehillim that we say during our Shabbos Psukei Dezimra. Hashem provides sustenance to the world through rain. The water cycle is miraculous. Water from all over the earth creates clouds. Hashem directs these clouds using the wind to the places where He wants things to grow. Wind is something that remains unpredictable, even for experienced meteorologists. If Hashem has the power to control the weather and nature, which impacts the growth of food and a person's livelihood, why would a person serve idols? Verse 14, anyone who serves idols are brutish, foolish, and liars who create a delusion. In the end, they will be destroyed. The God of Yaakov is far different. Ki yotzer hakol hu, for He is the former of all things. The description of Hashem is written again in present tense. Hashem didn't create the world once upon a time and leave it. He is constantly creating it. Without Hashem choosing for the world to exist, it would disappear. The wording is similar to a phrase from Yeshaya, which is also the first bracha said before the Shema in the morning. The bracha in Shacharis reads, Yotze Or Uvorei Choshech, He formed light and created darkness. Ose Shalom Uvorei Asakol, He makes peace and created everything. Why does it emphasize in Yirmiyahu and in our Tefilos that Hashem created Hakol, everything? The Radak explains that the Babylonians were polytheists and had different gods. Persia and Media, which will rule after Nebuchadnezzar, subscribe to a different religion. They have only two gods, one god of good and one god for evil, as one god couldn't possibly cause both joy and create pain. This is not a Jewish idea. We believe Hashem is one. He creates both light and dark. He makes everything both what we perceive as good and what we title bad. By saying Hashem creates kol, all, we are saying that Hashem is one. According to the Radak, Yirmiyahu concludes his letter with, V'Yisrael Shevet Nachlasro. Yisrael is the tribe of His inheritance. Hashem directs the life of Klal Yisrael. They are not under the control of any horoscope or multiple gods. Even when we are in Galus, Hashem has not abandoned us. Hashem Tzvakos Shemo, Hashem of hosts is his name. The name of Hashem is how we perceive Hashem. Even when Klal Yisrael is in Galus, Hashem defends us. Tzvakos means army. Verse 17 begins a new topic. This serves as an introduction to the prakim that follow. Yirmiyahu addresses Yushalayim with practical advice. He tells them, Isfi me'aretz kinaseich, gather up your merchandise from the ground and bring it into the siege so you won't lose all your wares in the war, as verse 18, they will be evicted from Eretz Yisrael. The Pam Hazos, this time, unlike before, when Sanherib was coming to attack them and they escaped, they're not going to escape now. Generally, Hashem does not fully punish what a person deserves. In this case, though, they will receive their full justice. Vatserosi lahem, Hashem will cause them pain. Laman yimtza'u, so that, finally, they will find Hashem when they turn to him in tefillah. As with every harsh prophecy, there is a kina, a lamentation on what is to come. Verse 19, Yirmiyahu says in the name of Hashem, Oy li al shivri, woe is me for my hurt. Hashem does not want to carry out this punishment. Yirmiyahu had thought this was a passing blow. Vani amarti, ach zech chali v'as ena. But I said, this is but a sickness, and I must bear it. He figured that like fever, it would break, but this pain is permanent. Yerushalayim that housed the home of Hashem is spoiled and broken. No one is left to rebuild the home of Hashem. Verse 20. Ein note od ahali umekim yiriyosai. There is no one left to set up my tent and put up my curtains. Hashem tells us who is responsible for this punishment. The leaders, the ro'im, the shepherds who were supposed to direct the nation, but they did not seek Hashem and they did not try to understand what Hashem wanted from them and from the people. Without asking for Hashem's guidance, it is impossible to understand this complex world which joins the finite and the infinite. With such foolish leaders, v'chol marisam nafotza, all their flocks are scattered. The common people are exiled to Galus. Verse 22. There is a shmua, a rumor, that something is happening. Rumors can be worse than facts, as they create panic and fear through the power of imagination. Nebuchadnezzar is on the march from the north. At first, Nebuchadnezzar has not decided whether to attack Yerushalayim or Ammon. Then he decides that his purpose is Lasum es ara Yehuda shmama ma'on tanim, to make the cities of Yehuda desolate, a dwelling place of jackals. Verse 23, Yirmiyahu acknowledges that what happens in the Churban isn't because of Nebuchadnezzar, or because of Nebuchadnezzar, or because of any person who is deciding that Nebuchadnezzar should attack. A man's way is not his own. It is not in man to direct his steps as he walks. The Radak says that Nebuchadnezzar at first was going to attack Ammon until Hashem had him change his mind to attack Yerushalayim instead. When bad things happen, it is Hashem's decision. Yirmiyahu asks Hashem that this awareness should remain with him. Yasreni Hashem ach b'mishpat. Hashem, correct me, but with justice. Rav Breuer explains that Yirmiyahu is asking that if I, or Yehuda, needs to be punished, let me understand that it is part of Hashem's judgment as to what is best in the world. With this new understanding, Yirmiyahu concludes the parak. He says Hashem's anger should not be focused on Yehuda who have made mistakes. Instead, verse 25, Shvoch hamascha al agayim asher lo yudu'ucha, pour out your wrath upon the nations that do not know you, the al mishpachos asher b'shimcha lo kara'u, and upon the families that do not call in your name. Rather than focusing on Yehuda, Hashem should punish these other nations. They never pray. They won't do teshuvah. Ki achlu es Yaakov, v'achaluhu, v'ayichaluhu, v'esnaveyu heishamu. For they have devoured Yaakov, they have devoured him, and consumed him, and have laid waste his place. These nations have already punished Yaakov physically and spiritually, so the children of Yaakov do not need any more horrors. Rav Breuer adds that they are destroying Yerushalayim from a hatred of Hashem. The nation that represents Hashem should be spared. Those that look to the foolish idols should not. In this parak, we learned the difference between Hashem and other religions, as well as the difference between the Jewish people and other nations. One theme that we see throughout is that Hashem is all-powerful. We must remember that anything that happens is only because of Hashem and not because of any person. We are not subject to fate, and Hashem is with us wherever we go in Galus. Thank you for studying together in the Le'ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexandra Sender.